The lunatic is on the grass. The lunatic is on the grass. Remembering games and daisy chains and laughs. Got to keep the loonies on the path. The lunatic is in the hall. The lunatics are in my hall. The paper holds their folded faces to the floor.
It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Hello, hello, welcome one and all. It is August 5th, 2021, and I just closed my browser window. Whoops. And it is 1903 UTC, keeping our track record alive of joining around 1900 UTC. The Dubious Goals Committee is always on time at 1930, so I'm trying my best, but you know, that's just what happens. Let's go ahead and get rolling. That wasn't a new intro. This was, I started playing Brain Damage from Pink Floyd while I was pulling everything up. And I thought, you know what? I might as well play it on the air. So anyway, no new intro. I'm intending to record a new one. I thought I would start a new one at the anniversary of the show, but I got into ham radio instead, so I've been messing with ham radio. I learned how to track a satellite and record it automatically. So now I need to figure out how to load satellites into the program and what settings so that I can get slow scan TV images. So we'll see. Oh, and congrats to Roder SB, or Rode RSB. I'm not sure how you say your name, but congrats! You've got a first show today! Hooray! Okay, we're going to get started, and we're going to start the way that we always start. And you know what that means? That's
world news.
The world news. That is correct. It is world news time. We've got a lot of stories out of Africa today. First up, Nigerian army is reported to have killed 115 pro-Biafra people between March and June, according to Amnesty International. On Wednesday, Amnesty International accused Nigerian security forces of killing at least 115 people between March and June in a crackdown on secessionists' movement in the southeast. Violence broke out in the southeast states, killing at least 127 people and security personnel, according to the police. While the local media reported that about 20 police stations and election officers were attacked. The Indigenous Peoples of Biafra Independence Movement, which advocates the secession of Nigeria's predominantly Igbo-populated southeast and its paramilitary wing, the Eastern Security Network, or ESN, were accused of masterminding the violence, which IPOB, the International Peoples of Biafra, denied. So, we'll see how this plays out. Usually, these kind of reports just flare up and cause people to get angry. The Human Rights Organization said it counted at least 115 people killed between March and June. When asked, the Nigerian police did not immediately react. I have not seen the report. I can therefore not respond, Frank Mba, spokesman for the National Police, told AFP. So, hey, welcome, Tin. Welcome, welcome. So that's what's going on in Nigeria. There's a little bit of turmoil there. We talked about protests recently. In Chad, at least 24 Chadian soldiers have been killed in a suspected jihadist attack. 24 Chadian soldiers were killed in an attack by suspected jihadists in the troubled Lake Chad region. Troops from a returning patrol were resting when they were attacked by Boko Haram on Wednesday, the region's deputy prefect, Haki Digi, told AFP. This is a cool sounding name. Hey, there's plenty of news left, Tin, don't worry. Army spokesman Journal Azim Bermanda Agona confirmed that an attack had taken place at Chuku Tilia, an island 190 kilometers northwest of the capital of N'Djamena, but refused to give any toll. Lake Chad is a vast area of water and marshland bordered by Niger, Nigeria, and Cameroon, as well as Chad. Jihadists from Boko Haram and a rival splinter group, the Islamic State West Africa Province, have been using the region for years as a haven from which to attack troops and civilians. Chadian authorities tend to call the jihadist group Boko Haram, regardless of their affiliation. Kind of like here, where we say a where in the U.S. where we just say terrorists for all the different terrorist groups usually. In March 2020, around 100 Chadian troops were killed in an overnight attack on the lake's Bohoma Peninsula, prompting an offensive led by Chad's then-president Idriss Deby. R.I.P. Deby was killed in April 2021, we talked about that, during fighting against rebels in northern Chad, and was succeeded by his son, Mohammed Idriss Deby Itno, at the head of the military junta. So, Boko Haram launched a revolt in northern Nigeria in 2009 before extending its campaign into neighboring countries. More than 36,000 people, most from Nigeria, have died, and 3 million have fled their homes since that group was formed. Yeah, it would be fun to do a kind of news story. I think there's some extra prep work involved. Talking at Calm here. I would do it. I think I'd need extra prep work so that I could do the little box to my side that has like the photo of the news. But yeah, we could do it. We could try it out. I'm not sure how to do Tubnix to a non-radio. I'm sure there's a way. We just have to figure that part out. I'm guessing it would go OBS to Tubnix to an on-radio, or I'd have to get some kind of audio splitting program so I could send that audio output to two places. Either way, we'll work it out, because it would be a lot of fun. That's a good idea. All right, focus. We must focus. All right, let's get moving. All right, more stuff. I'm saying all right a lot, sorry. Sudan sentences paramilitaries to death for killing protesters. A Sudanese court has sentenced six members of a paramilitary force to death for killing six protesters during a 2019 demonstration over food and fuel shortages. If only we could do that in the United States. The killing of the protesters, including four children in July in the city of El Obeid in North Kordofan, sparked outrage across Sudan. Days later, nine members of the Rapid Support Forces paramilitary unity were arrested. At their trial on Thursday, broadcast on Sudan TV, Judge Mohamed Rama sentenced six of the defendants to death, acquitted two others, and referred one to a juvenile court as he was below 18. Rama said the actions of six found guilty were unnecessary and were not on par with the alleged verbal provocations by protesters during the otherwise peaceful demonstration. In Sudan, death sentences are usually carried out by hanging, but the six may appeal the ruling. Families of the victim demand retribution for the killings during the trial. The RSF was formed in 2013 under now-removed President Omar al-Bashir, who was toppled in April 2019 following mass protests. So, we'll see how this goes, but it's kind of cool. It's neat to see whenever power is held accountable, so that seems like a good step. All right, and here's one more story, and then we'll talk about we'll jump out of Africa for a little while because we've done a bunch of stories about them in a row. Let's talk about Kenya and debt collectors. We all know about debt collectors, I'm sure, or at some point you've had a debt collector call you. Well, this story is extra spicy. A pastor showed up in our newsroom in Kenya's capital of Nairobi with a unique complaint. Over a week-long period, his phone had been inundated by calls from debt collectors who claimed that one of his congregants had nominated him as the guarantor to a loan she had taken. At first, the man of cloth thought it was a joke, but after several annoying phone calls, he moved from the curiosity to bemusement and finally anger at how invasive this form of debt shaming was. The intensity of the phone conversation changed from day to day. Initially, the callers were polite and simply asked to speak to his congregant to pay back the money she borrowed the month before. But soon thereafter, the callers became more aggressive and even crass, calling him a fake pastor who refused to speak truth to his congregation about the paying of debts and promising they would make his phone explode. To add insult to injury, they even abused his wife when she tried to intervene. For several days, the pastor couldn't use his phone because he refused to comply with the demands of the callers. And after the story hit the airwaves and social media, the debt of shame hashtag, many Kenyans started relaying their experiences when confronted with debt collectors. One Twitter user said he was warned that if he didn't pay, they will come for my kidney. Another said she once borrowed 2,000 shillings, which is $18 US, and 10 days later, they were on my neck. I couldn't sleep or think. I got all the insults one could think of. There's no doubt that Kenyans have embraced taking loans through digital lending apps. They're discreet, quick, and require no collateral. But there's the dilemma for lenders. Use repayment habits of users to gauge their credit worthiness, and they never physically meet their customers. Indeed, none of this would have been possible if the African continent was not the global leader in mobile money. Mobile network operators have dominated money services in Africa for the last decade. So, pretty wild. yeah, ow, my kidney. Yeah, basically, and then the interest rates are crazy. Average bank loans in Kenya runs you 12 to 14%, but on a mobile app, it can be up as 395%. So it's just insane. And so this is just a heads up about that going on. The part about the kidney, I was like, oh my gosh. And I was thinking that they might actually be able to get your kidney, but it looks like bodily autonomy is safe in Kenya after all. Fantastic. So the United States, France, and Germany all have this one thing in common. They've been paying lots of money to have access to Pfizer and Moderna vaccines, and they've been giving them to their people. And now France and Germany are to offer vaccine booster shots despite the WHO's call, the World Health Organization's call, to prioritize poorer nations. Same thing happening in the U.S. Germany and France will begin offering a third COVID-19 vaccine booster shot to the most vulnerable members of their population starting in September, disregarding a WHO appeal to delay third doses until more people in poorer countries are vaccinated. Germany and France will go ahead with COVID-19 boosters from September, disregarding an appeal by the World Health Organization to hold off until more people are vaccinated. The decision to press ahead with booster shots, despite the strongest statement yet from the WHO, highlights the challenge of dealing with a global pandemic while countries try to protect their own citizens from the more infectious Delta variant. French President Emmanuel Macron said France was working on rolling out third COVID-19 vaccine doses to the elderly and vulnerable from September. A third dose will likely be necessary, not for everyone straight away, but in any case, for the most vulnerable and the most elderly, Macron said. Germany intends to give boosters to immunocompromised patients, the very elderly and nursing home residents, from September. WHO Chief Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus called on Wednesday for a halt to boosters until at least the end of September, saying it was unacceptable for rich countries to use more of the global vaccine supply. High-income countries administer around 50 doses for every 100 people in May, and that number has since doubled. Low-income countries have only been able to administer 1.5 doses for every 100 people due to lack of supplies. I understand the concern of all governments to protect their people from the Delta variant, but we cannot accept countries that have already used most of the global supply of vaccines using even more of it. Third dose. It's very surprising. So yeah, basically what we've got going on is the World Health Organization has been trying to get, like, the COVAX scheme and everything else. They were trying to go ahead and get vaccines distributed all over the world because this is a global problem. But as soon as, just like with anything else where money is involved, as soon as possible, countries that are wealthy monopolize the supply and use it until they're done with it, and then they'll pass the scraps off to the other countries. So that's kind of what we're seeing here. The United States hasn't said that it's going to start offering third dose booster shots, but they said they aren't taking it off the table. That was in another story I read today. But France and Germany, they're going to start rolling them out. And I have friends who've already gone off and gotten third doses, since there's no ID check or validation in the United States that if you go to get a vaccine, you just show up and say, yeah, I need a vaccine. And then they're like, all right, roll up your arm. I know of at least a couple of people that have gone and done that. So they got their third shot by joking. 10 sold his BioNTech shares. Too bad. All right, we got to focus. We're at 17 minutes past the hour, and this guy has been playing in my head.
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
I don't know if you can hear him. I want to hear the music. Okay, we'll do one more quick story, and then we'll play a song. The UK here, police in the United Kingdom have arrested 11 people in connection with the online racial abuse of 3 black English football players following the team's performance in the Euro 2020 final last month. All but one are men and range in age from 18 to 63 years old, police said. Marcus Rashford, Jadon Sancho, and Bukayo Saka were targeted on social media after the national team's penalty shootout defeat to Italy on July 11th. English football's governing body, England manager Gareth Southgate and British Prime Minister Boris Johnson condemned the abuse at the time, along with other high-profile figures. While a campaign grew for social media companies to step up their efforts against online hate, the UK Football Policing Unit, which is surprising that this exists, which is conducting a hate crime investigation into the incident, said in a statement on Thursday that it had received more than 600 reports of racist comments being sent to England's black players after the match. Police judged 207 of the posts identified to be criminal in nature. They've identified 34 accounts belonging to individuals in the UK. 11 of those holders have now been arrested. UK FPU said it was awaiting data from social media companies on the remaining 50 account holders. So, very, very interesting, exciting stuff. A lot of people still think they're anonymous on the internet, and they just throw all sorts of evil hate out there. So, pretty cool, if you ask me. You know what? Let's go ahead here. It's time.
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
We need some music. We need... You know what we need? We need... We need to go on a holiday. This is the Dead Kennedys' Holiday in Cambodia. The single version. Singles version.
Resistance is futile.
So you've been to school for a year or two, and you know you've seen it all. And at his coming, you'll go far back east. Your time don't crawl. Play ethnic jazz to parade your snares on your bug grand stereo. And let you know how the niggas feel cold, and the sun's got so much so. It's time to taste what you roast beer. Right, God will not help you here. Grace yourself, my dear. Grace yourself, my dear. It's a holiday in Cambodia. It's tough, kid, but it's alive. It's a holiday. You suck like a leech. You want everyone to act like you. Kiss ass for your bitch so you can get rich, but your boss can scream.
picture of you. Well, you'll work harder with a gun in your back for a bowl of rice a day. Slave or soldier, still you starve, and your head is skewered on a stake. Now you can go where people.
Public Access Unix System. You're listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF Public Access Unix System.
That's right. This is Anon Radio. It's powered by SDF, and you can power SDF. How? Just join. SSH over is newnew@sdf.org, or go to sdf.org, the website, and check it all out. Lots of information about what SDF is and how you can join. That was Holiday in Cambodia from the Dead Kennedys. The lead singer of the Dead Kennedys, his name is Jello Biafra. And the Biafra people were mentioned in the first story of the show. And I summarized the footballer story in com, but since this is an audio show and not a com show, I'll just mention here, after the game, there were 600 reports of racist and hateful remarks that were sent into the UK's Football and Policing Unit. 207 of them were considered criminal enough to be investigated, and those belonged to 84 accounts. So then they found 34 of them. They identified who owned 34 of them so far. There's 50 left. They're waiting to hear back from, like, the social media companies on. And out of those, they were able to arrest 11 people. So they're working to get those charged and taken care of. Man, we've got about 5 minutes to go before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe starts up, and that's a fun show. It's every single day at 19:30 UTC, and yeah, it's just a good, it's a blast. I think that it's super cool. It's definitely worth checking out. Yeah, there's lots of dubious cool things to do. Synthesizers, dudes, heat waves, tea. Tea is a very important component of the show. All right. Let's talk.
That's correct.
Okay, here we go. In Texas, this is a short one. I'm in Texas. I think Publius is in Texas too. But check it out. Down near the southern border, at least 10 people have been killed and more than a dozen injured after a van carrying 29 passengers crashed on a remote South Texas highway. Authorities said the crash happened shortly after 4 p.m. on Wednesday on U.S. 281 in Encino, Texas, about 50 miles, 80 kilometers north of McAllen. The Brooks County Sheriff, Urbino Martinez, said the van was designed to hold 15 passengers, and it was top-heavy and tipped over when the driver lost control on a curve. Sergeant Nathan Brandley of the Texas Department of Public Safety said the passenger van was traveling too fast and hit a utility pole. So, what's the deal here? Well, an uptick in migrants attempting to cross the borders brought about a rise in the number of crashes involving vehicles, often filled with people who pay large amounts of money to be smuggled into the country. The crash comes 5 months after 13 people were killed when an SUV with 25 migrants collided with a semi-truck in Holtville, California, near the border. And in March, 8 migrants were killed when their vehicle crashed into another truck while being pursued by police north of Del Rio. Oh, there's tea in Texas. It's hard to get, it takes forever to get tea from China in Texas, that's for sure. Welcome, welcome. Hold on, we gotta do this. Welcome, Tobe, to the chat. There we go. Hello, welcome. And also, Froggy Me, thanks for joining up, hanging out with us today. And as always, shout out to everyone in Com. Thank you for being here. SMJ, Jazzmaz, who's always listening, Claudio M, Raleigh, F-Fog, M Stoney, Stug, all you guys, girls, all you people, John M, you know, there's whatever general neutral term for a group of people you prefer, that's what we're going with. All right, we've got just a couple more minutes, so let's run through just some headlines. Bye, Claudio. Claudio M. here, and Robert 588. All right. Ethiopia, only 10% of humanitarian aid actually reaches the Tigray region where the famine is going on, the U.S. Agency for International Development has found out. And in Senegal, cemeteries are seeing record burials as the virus strike increases. So they're in the middle of a third wave of COVID-19, and cemeteries in the capital are just fighting. There's just a huge surge of burials, so it's a catastrophic problem there. We can't go into it. Al Jazeera has a great article about the challenges facing Iran's new president, Ibrahim Raisi. And a forest fire in Greece is threatening the birthplace of the Olympics. Forest fire in Greece has threatened the archaeological site at the birthplace of the modern Olympics amid the protracted European heat wave. Firefighters waged an all-night battle overnight on Wednesday to protect the site from fire in the southern Peloponnese region near ancient Olympia, said Citizens Protection Minister Michalis Chrysokoindis. Very wild times. Free open source.
Well, that's phosphate. Times come to an end. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow and
Thank
every
you.
Weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe at 1900 UTC. Talk to you then.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Enjoy the Dubious Goals Committee. We've got 10 seconds or so. What do you want to talk about? How do you feel? Let's all just take a deep breath. 10, 9,
7, 6.